about prayer, don't we? And we say, oh, prayer is amazing. God has answered and moved, and it's wonderful. But what about those times when it's not? Sometimes people will say, oh, that's because you're in sin. It's your fault. You're in sin. Can I tell you something? You can be perfectly in tune with God and his will for your life and be where you're supposed to be, doing the things you're supposed to be, and still have this experience of God's silence, and you're left with despair. You know, we don't have a song in our hymn book called The Agony of Prayer. Do we? No. We've got one called Sweet Hour of Prayer, because we always talk about prayer in glowing terms. But we don't talk about prayer as being dark and agonizing. Maybe it's those times when you prayed for God to give you, for your child. You prayed for your child, whatever situation is, nothing happens. Or you prayed for a solution to a conflict, and no changes happen. Or if you prayed, God, would you intervene in this? And nothing. This prayer is broken into two parts, and then he comes back. I want to come back at the end, which is most of the psalm, with the solution. So let's begin with the first part. At times, prayer seems to not work. You're going, that's not right, Pastor. We should be talking about how prayer always works and always great. And I'm going to tell you, in the end, it does. But there are seasons, aren't there? There are times, there are stretches where we go, God, I'm talking, and you don't seem to be listening. Look at verse 1. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without weary, and my soul refuses to be comforted. And when I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. The word Selah is there on purpose, by the way. It says, stop. Contemplate what was just written before you go on. As the prayer opens, the writer does something we so often suggest in times of hardship. If you have a friend that says, man, I'm going to have a hard time, what do you say to them? Well, just, come on, y'all are with me. Just what? Pray about it. How many times have you given that advice or received that advice? Pray about it. And sometimes that answer comes across maybe as trite or trivial. You're going, you don't get it. This is tough. This is big. This is a mess. You know, we sing songs about taking everything to God in prayer. And don't misunderstand, I believe firmly in the power of prayer. I believe we have a responsibility to be in prayer. And we'll come back to that at the end of this message. But sometimes, you know, God doesn't grant our request, even if we've come in faith. We get no answer. And it seems like God's ignoring us. And we hear again and again, just pray and God will hear and move. Let me tell you a truth I have discovered. God is not our prayer waiter taker. Huh? You're sitting at the table of life and God's there and you go, well, God, here's what I want. Do this. And he goes running off and takes care of it. That's not God. Not the God of the Bible, at least. We must never think of God as the person who comes and says, well, what do you need? What's your order? How do you want that cooked? How do you want that prepared? Do you want that with ice or without ice? Do you want a little ice or a lot of ice in that drink? Do you want it hot or cold? He doesn't do that. That's not God. When we see prayer as an exchange where we get to tell God what he wants and then he does what we ask, that is really not the point of prayer. Often our prayers are exactly like that, aren't they? We come and say, God, this is my list. Do this, do this, do this, do this, and do it now and my way. Have you ever been asked this question? How are things going? And what do we say? I don't care where you really are. Our answer is what? It's all good, right? It's all great. It's wonderful. Let me share with you. There are times when I am not great when I'm waiting on God in prayer. I'm going, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on? You know, it's okay to be honest. Say, I've been praying about a matter, but I don't know where God is. I've been asking him to move. He hasn't moved. I want him to do this. He hasn't done it. What's wrong with that answer? Not a thing. There are times in life when prayer won't seem to work. And let me tell you what, it's okay to confess that as the reality. It doesn't mean you're giving up on prayer. You're acknowledging that you may be in a dry season, a time when you're just having to wait for God to move. His timing is right. Or maybe you don't know exactly where he wants to lead. I don't know, but here's the thing. In those times, it is perfectly all right to express that despair and understand it just doesn't seem to work right now. The second thing I want you to see is that at times, remembering past blessings fails. Look at verse 4. You hold open my eyelids. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be glorious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. Maybe you're like me and you've walked with the Lord long enough. When you've come to a dry season in life and you go, but I remember. I remember when God moved. I remember in the past where God's done something amazing. I had the privilege a number of years ago of serving a church that grew, wow, rapidly. I'm going to tell you, it had nothing to do with the pastor because he's just the same old guy y'all are stuck with, okay? But God moved within a span of a year and added over 200 people to our fellowship. I mean, every Sunday we were dealing with new members. It's a good problem to have, okay? But I'm telling you, it's one of those things you're going to go, wow, look at what God did. Look how God's moving. Look, I can look back on that season in life and be reminded that God does indeed move in mighty ways. He did. And we can recount those in prayer saying, God, I remember when you did this. I remember you did that. And we do all of that. And the psalmist looks back in life and he says, God, I remember when you've done these things. And there are times, though, when no amount of remembering God's mighty right hand makes a bit of difference in the moment. You go, I remember what you did, but it doesn't really matter here. And that leads the psalmist into what I call an introspective wild goose chase. You ever go on those? I do them all the time. Never catch the goose, by the way. But I think about things. And he asks a series of questions here, and they have a common obvious answer. Did you see him? Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Of course not. God is not going to forget us and ignore us forever, is he? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? No, it's still there. I may not feel it as deeply as I have. I may not experience it in the moment like I have, but it's still there. How about this one? Are his promises at an end for all time? Obviously not. His time is not over. Has God forgotten to be gracious? How could we even ask that? God knows how to be gracious. Has he in anger shut up his compassion? No, his compassion's still there. His mercies are what? New every morning. Sometimes we just don't feel that, do we? I think what the psalmist is trying to get across to the people of God is this. Feelings often deceive us in the midst of dark times. Times of despair. We say, this will never end. As an aside, we need to remember that life is way too complicated for a simple or easy answer, isn't it? A trite answer of just pray is really not enough at times, is it? And just listing the successes isn't enough. You can say, well, God, you've done this, and you've done this, and I've experienced this, and I've walked with you, and you did amazing. You did this. Prayers of despair can overwhelm us. So what do we do? That's where the rest of the psalm comes in. However, in prayer, what? Remain faithful. Remain faithful to God. He says, I will appeal to this, to the ears of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. He's not going to forget them. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your right hand, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Remain faithful. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. And you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. There's two big thoughts I want you to see here. The first is this. Don't hold back in those times. Just cry out to the Lord and speak to Him. Even when it seems silent. There's a substantial shift in the language here. I hope you saw it as I read it. He moves from the first part talking about me, my, I, us, that kind of stuff, and he shifts to where he starts talking about your, you, and God. There's a substantial grammatical shift here that we're going to dig into, but I want you to see it because he's saying, God, I believe you are the one that can do this. You are the one that can accomplish. You are the great God. You are the one who moves. You're the one who's there. Is he in despair at this moment? Yes. Does it seem like God's not listening? Yes. Does it seem like he can recount all the things that God's done in the past and it's not making a bit of difference? Yes. But he says, you're still God. You're still God in this. He's not going to forget the years that God's moved. He's not going to forget the deeds of the Lord. He's not going to forget all these things because the same God of today, the God of today is the same God of yesterday and the same God of tomorrow. He hasn't changed. He says, God, you can move even when I don't see it. Hold back. The God of the Bible handles anything we bring to Him. There was a season of my life a number of years back where a close loved one of mine had died. And things at the church I was serving were kind of in a mess. And God seemed to be silent. My prayer was often this, God, where are you? Where are you? And the only answer I would get during that season, you're going to love this because it's not the answer we want. We want an answer that says, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to take care of that, and I'm all going to be good. That's not the answer I got. Here's the answer I got. Just do what you're called to do in this season, for I am still God. I'd be telling you a story if I didn't go, God, are you serious? That's all you're going to give me? That's all I'm going to get right now? You're not going to give me the answer of how to fix it? You're not going to give me the fix it? You know, men, we like to fix it. Don't we? We like to come up with the solution. Let's fix the problem. He didn't give me that. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out of that. I'm going to move you somewhere. No, he didn't say, I'll tell you, I'm going to leave you right there, and you're just going to continue being faithful. Can I tell you, I'd love to tell you that was an easy season of life. It was not. But God was capable of handling it all. If I would just wait on Him. The second truth that goes into this remaining faithful is not only do we need to speak openly and honest to God, but we need to hold to what is true, even if we don't see anything yet. He goes through a list of things in that text, and we won't dig into it because of the sake of time, but I want you to see he talked a lot about water. Well, that'd be a good conversation for this weekend, wouldn't it? A lot of water this weekend, right? Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about rain. He talks about water, and from Asaph's perspective, all of these were in the past. Are you ready? He says, he's talking about Noah's flood. What happened with Noah's flood? The world was covered with water. How about this one? They crossed the Red Sea. God did what? He parted the water, and then it recovered the folks. They crossed the Jordan River was another one that happened for them, and God stopped the water until the people crossed, and then he returned the river to its banks. And he confesses, God, you've been leading us like a flock of sheep. And yet, there were seasons when God was completely silent. And the people are going, where is he? See, Asaph lived in a time when the nation had not gone through exile yet. So that had not happened yet. But he lived through times when the Philistines were a thorn in their side. He likely experienced the time of King Saul when he was consulting witches. Hello, crazy stuff going on. And as a people, they lived through the cycle of faithfulness that God would call them. And then they would have a prophet and call them to faithfulness. And then they'd fall away for a season. Then he'd call them. In the moment, he couldn't see the right hand of God, but he believed he was there. And that's true for us today as well. Three quick thoughts. Number one, even in silence, keep praying. Keep talking to God. You go, I haven't heard anything back. I promise you, God has heard every single prayer you've uttered. He's heard it. Don't give up. When it seems that God's silent and the seasons we're struggling, I wish I could tell you why those happen. I can't. But I can suggest to you that God allows seasons of silence to prepare us for what he has next in our lives. I'm reminded of not one, but two 400-year, roughly, periods of time in the Old Testament, or adjacent to the Old Testament, where God went silent to a people. They spent 400 years living in Egypt. We hear nothing from God there for 400 years until Moses shows up. Where was God in all that? He was still God, right? He hadn't walked away, correct? He was still on his throne. Amen. How about this one? After the close of the book of Malachi, do you know what happened there? A 400-year gap until John the Baptist came as one in the wilderness calling, proclaiming the Messiah is about to arrive, and then the story of Jesus opens. 400 years. Where was God in all that? Right where he is right now. Still on his throne. Can you imagine living in one of those seasons of time? You're born, you know you're part of God's people and your family is part of that, and then you never really hear from God much. Oh, and then you die. And then your kids experience the same thing. And then their kid, 400 years of that. Wow. Did God walk away from his people in that? No. He didn't abandon them? No. Was he done with his chosen people? No. He was still at work in there. I don't know about you, but we seem to be in a season, maybe here on planet Earth, where God seems pretty silent. We pray some more. And we say, God, where's the answer? And maybe that silence leads you to the brink of despair. You're going, I don't know what to do. Let me share with you a secret I've found. Now is always the right time to pray. Keep praying. Don't give up. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we're called to be consistent in prayer. Paul reminded the church at Thessalonica to keep on praying, even in the face of some pretty serious trials. He said this, rejoice always. Can I tell you, when God's silent, that's not something on my list. Y'all with me? Rejoice always. And then he says, pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. And then he says, go ahead and give thanks and everything. But I didn't get what I wanted. But things didn't go well. It hasn't been pleasant. It hasn't been fun. It hasn't been good. I don't like this. I don't like that. Guess what? He says, give thanks. God, thank you for that season where I saw you move in a mighty way in a church with hundreds of people adding to a fellowship over a couple of years span. Thank you for the season where I went through the darkness of an ugly, awful section of my life because you worked in those moments. Because this was the will of Christ Jesus for who? For me. Don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on the God who can move in spite of the circumstances. Number two, and you've already kind of said it, Patrick, but prayer is always correct. Have you ever, I wish my wife wasn't in the room, have you ever called somebody up to ask them out for a date before you get married, not after? Let me clarify that. And you call up and there's no answer. Y'all didn't, let me just tell you, this is how the real world lives. This isn't any of y'all because y'all didn't have this experience. But you call and there's no answer. You leave a message. A couple of days later, you call again. This is pre-texting, guys, okay? Back in the old days when the machine, they could screen the call, okay? You call again. What happens? No answer. You leave a message. After about the 32nd time, you start to think to yourself, I don't think she wants to talk to me. You had that experience, Chris. Donna, she shook her head, yes, I saw that. Wow. We call, God, where are you at? God, where are you? And we don't hear an answer. It's okay. Keep calling. Keep calling. Keep leaving the messages. Keep speaking. Keep talking. Why? Because in his time, he will. The people who lived around the area of Jerusalem right after Jesus was resurrected, they had a guy named James who was their bishop. It's another word for a pastor. But anyway, their lives were very difficult because people still hated Christians then. And they were having a hard time. In fact, many of them had to move out of the area just to stay alive. And in the midst of all this season, James speaks to his congregation through a letter we call the Book of James. And he says this to those who have dispersed, trying to stay alive. He said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you could be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And you might say to yourself, but I'm no righteous person. If you're a child of God, you have the righteousness of Christ in your life. Continue to pray. Continue to speak to God. Continue to talk to God. Continue to let him hear what's on your heart. And God will move in his time. There's no reason to stop praying when it seems like God isn't answering your prayer. They needed support of each other. They needed encouragement from each other. Can I tell you something, dear friend? We do too. We need to confess and pray for one another. We need to walk together. We need to love each other because there is power in that. Last, God is for us, not against us. Pretty deep stuff this morning, right? You go, I think I've heard that before somewhere. Yeah, it's not original. I didn't write that originally. Did you know that? You've heard that before. We sometimes don't mean to be reminded, though, of things that are true, no matter who says it. God is for us, not against us. We understand God's ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. And we need to grasp his purposes are not ours. His timing is also vastly different from ours as well. He moves when he moves. Because he's God. But he's for us in those moments. One of the fascinating things to me in the Bible is why God could allow entire generations to perish in captivity or in exile or in just mere silence. From their perspective, their entire lives were filled with God's silence. Wow. They may have even said, where is God? And just because they didn't understand his timing or his working doesn't mean that God wasn't still at work. God is for us. Not against us. Listen to what the writer of Romans says. He says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, you know, just say that out loud with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow. Who's for you? Sometimes spouses fail us. Sometimes our children fail us. Sometimes our parents fail us. Sometimes our friends fail us, right? But God doesn't. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's not leaving us. Henry Blackaby once said this, God is always at work. God's always moving around us. That's true when things seem to be going well. It also is true when things don't seem to be going so good. When it's bright and cheery and when it's dark and dismal. Let me remind you, God is still there. He's working to bring about everything we need, even if we don't get what our selfish nature thinks we want. But it begins with a relationship with Christ. Have you come to that place in your life where you've trusted Him? Have you given your heart to Christ? And then have you made that decision to let others know what He's doing in your life? We want to give you an opportunity to publicly respond today. I'm going to pray, and then those of you who maybe need to make a decision this morning, we're waiting for you. We want to give you that time. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We pray Your blessing on this time as we've come together to sing and to worship and to hear good music. And Father, to be looking at a dark prayer, that prayer of despair that, Father, so many of us struggle with and find ourselves in the midst of. I pray, God, that You would guide us as we respond, whether it's publicly or privately, to Your word. In Jesus' name we pray.